Back at it here on a Tuesday. Good to have you along. I guess it's just my day. You know, just my day. Let's move forward with Joe Bartozzi, the National Shooting Sports Foundation president and CEO. For most of the last 30 years, I would spend 4 days in January at the SHOT Show, the biggest gun show in the world, manufacturers from all over the world, but not just guns, guns, ammunition, boots, gear, optics, everything you can imagine. It was the greatest Christmas store ever for a guy like me. Not happening this year. Vegas is closed. Most of the SHOT Shows have been held in Vegas. One was in Dallas, I remember, a couple in Orlando, but mostly in Vegas. Not this year. Joe, welcome to the program. Good to have you here because the SHOT Show is virtual. Welcome
aboard. Yeah, thank you for having me, Steve. Good morning.
So I guess I don't get a pin this year. A little disappointed about that.
I know, me too.
Got to be honest. All right, so how do you do a SHOT Show? I mean, it's what, 7,000 vendors, something of that magnitude. It's a big show. I never made it all the way through the SHOT Show ever, despite numerous attempts. But how do you do that online or virtually?
Right. What we try to do is to give, for example, manufacturers and our exhibitors the opportunity to post a lot of their new materials online. So we have a virtual SHOT Show. We call it SHOT On Demand. People can log in and see not only the new product, but they can also schedule meetings with a lot of these vendors, a lot of the exhibitors that they would ordinarily have done in Vegas. They could do it, you know, over the internet, you know, virtually, so they can make their orders, look at what potential new products they want to carry in their retail shop and so forth. So that's about the best we can do under the conditions. But and also we're having a lot of educational seminars ongoing for the next, like started last week, and it's going right through for another week or so. So a lot of good educational opportunities for folks out there to take advantage of.
Well, those are extremely important. We're a little more than a day away from what is going to be the most aggressive, progressive attack, I believe, on the Second Amendment. I think you probably feel the same.
Yes,
they've made
do.
No secret about how they're going to go after firearms, ammunition, in a variety of ways. They're going to try to ban firearms, create a national registry for those that have modern sporting rifles. Put taxes and excise taxes, if you own firearms, maybe $200 per piece in your safe. Taxes on ammunition, which my father told me, you know, 40 years ago. At some point, they're going to try to tax the ammunition, so it's so expensive you just can't afford it. All of these things are concerns, are they not?
Yes, they are. They're absolutely concerns. I mean, Joe Biden made no secret about his frankly, hatred of the gun industry. You know, when you get up on a stage and call the gun manufacturers enemies, that's pretty harsh rhetoric. I mean, that's really outrageous. I doubt he's ever called ISIS the enemy or actual enemies of this country, but he calls gun manufacturers the enemy. It's disgraceful. But, you know, what he's trying to do is to make it as expensive as possible, not just in terms of dollars and cents, but in terms of political capital, in terms of everything you can imagine, to try to marginalize gun owners. And you never thought it would come to this in a country that has a Second Amendment and a Bill of Rights, but here we are. We're going to be dealing with this now for the next 4 years.
Something else.
We're going to have to be on our toes.
Yeah, let me ask you about this. Joe Bartozzi, the National Shooting Sports Foundation president and CEO. One of the other things they would like to get rid of are the concealed carry permits that millions of Americans have to carry a license, carry a pistol concealed. They'd like to eliminate that across the country. I don't see how you do that because it's a direct infringement on state rights. And the state I live in, for example, Michigan has an amendment in its constitution also delineating the fact that I have the right to keep and bear arms. In fact, it's more robust, if you will, than the Second Amendment is.
A lot of people forget about the states. I want to say that I think 46 out of the 50 states actually have a very strong right to own firearms in their constitution, and people tend to forget about that. But you're right, it is a states' rights issue, and I don't see how the federal government can mandate what states do in terms of within their own borders. So that I think would be a heavier lift. I think he's going to go right away for low-hanging fruit, try and divide the country and try and do what he can by executive order, because I mean, even the Congress, the House has become much closer in terms of balance than it has been in years. And of course, we know the Senate is deadlocked. So, I mean, it's going to be a heavy lift to move things legislatively. He's going to try and do what he can with executive orders and, again, try and weaponize perhaps the ATF with his attorney general, you know, calling the shots there. So it's going to be a challenge all around, to be sure.
Yeah, Merrick Garland, the attorney general incoming, we're told, right?
Yep.
How are members of Congress that are in vulnerable seats? There's more than 20 of them, by the way, Democrats in seats in districts won by Donald Trump again. How are they going to, you know, they're going to be in very tough spots, because if they vote against the Second Amendment rights of the people in their districts, they're voting themselves out of office in 2 years. But by then, the damage might already be done.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think a lot of these folks are getting pressure from both sides. Of course, their constituents, if you're in a district that Donald Trump won, your constituents are not going to be very, very happy about you trying to take away their rights. On the other hand, the Democrat Party can put a lot of pressure on these folks in terms of committee assignments, in terms of fundraising, and all sorts of things to try and basically get their way, to arm twist them into going along with them. But you're right. I think the House, you know, those House members are vulnerable. And I think in 2 years, I don't think it's inconceivable at all to think the House is going to flip back to Republicans. Traditionally, that's been the case when the new president comes in, a new party.
I think it's a mathematical certainty, because you have two things going on. First of all, you have Florida and Texas both expected to pick up three new members of Congress. And, of course, Republicans are in charge of drawing those new districts. So you'll have three and three, very likely. The majority of those will become red districts. So you've got that going on. Plus, you've got states like California, Michigan, Pennsylvania, New York, all losing a seat in the right. House of Representatives. So there's a mathematical shift going on already from blue to red. Right. Then you complicate that with being the midterm elections. Yes, it's very likely that the Democrats will have no control of the U.S. House. But in 2 years' time, again, how much damage can be done in 2 years? You know the answer. Considerable.
It's considerable, to be sure. Yeah. The wish list of what Biden wants to do is long, and it's scary.
Yeah, so what he thinks he can do some of this by executive order, but he did say, and we've played it on the program here just recently, he can't ban assault rifles by executive order. He can't raise taxes on weapons by executive order. He can't demand background checks on all gun sales by executive order. And they call that the gun show loophole. Of course, you and I know that's a misnomer, because gun show dealers are FFL licensed dealers, and the chance of them being there unlicensed is pretty much zero, so that doesn't happen. But it would be a sale between myself and my neighbor or whatever, creating that. What are your big concerns? I'll give you the last word of the top priority items for this administration.
You know, that's a great question. I think if I were in the business of manufacturing arm braces, I think that would be an area I would be very, very cautious about. I think there'll be litigation if he tried to ban them outright. Well, I'm thinking along the lines of the bump stock ban, something analogous to that. You know, what President Trump did, have the Attorney General basically define bump stocks as machine guns. Now, I'm wondering if Merrick Garland can possibly do something like that. If you have an arm brace, it becomes a short barrel rifle. In other words, work it into a way where it becomes analogous to the bump stock ban. That would be one area that I would think I would.
And we'll keep an eye on it. We have to leave it right there. But Joe, I definitely want you to come back. Joe Bartosi is the National Shooting Sports Foundation president and CEO. No SHOT Show except virtual this year. But I want to keep you on speed dial for all the things coming down the pipe, sir, because it's going to be important. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. Break here on the Steve Gruber Show. We'll be right back.
Pure Michigan water has never been more important than it is today. You can find your Pure Michigan water experts at Wolverine Water. Wolverine Water has been installing Michigan-made products for almost 75 years now. Hometown products and hometown service provided by your friends and neighbors at Wolverine Water since 1947. How about that for a cool drink of water? Wolverine Water. I've been a customer for over 20 years, too. If you're ready for the very best, you're ready for Wolverine Water. WolverineWaterSystems.com.
It's time to go on the court with Robin Hook.
It's a new day to celebrate and be free. It's a new day full of action and excitement, because it's a day for winning, only at Soaring Eagle Casino and Resort. It's a new day. Visit SoaringEagleCasino.com. First-year Western Michigan basketball coach Clayton Bates has been a major contributor to the Bronco program for 18 years as an assistant coach, associate head coach, and now the guy leading the program. A part of two MAC titles with Steve Hawkins at Western Michigan, and having worked under some legends like Hugh Durham and his college coach at Florida, Lon Kruger, earlier in his career, Bates is doing it the right way, building with mostly high school recruits, defense first, and accountability from staff and players. Bates won't be tempted by the quick fix, so the results that Bronco fans are looking for may take some time. But organized and focused, Bates has been a loyal staff member since his first arrival on the Western Michigan campus in 2000 and has the support to allow the program building process to play itself out.
Do you know what a concussion looks like? Did you know that 9 times out of 10, a concussion doesn't knock someone out? The signs and symptoms of a concussion sometimes don't manifest themselves until after the game. So learn what to look for. Visit the MHSA website and click on Education for more information. A public service message from the Michigan High School Athletic Association promoting the value and values of educational athletics.